Wisconsin's public sector workers are looking to restore labor rights that were taken away more than a decade ago. A judge heard arguments in the case yesterday. It's Wednesday, May 29th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, conservative critics of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss are once again trying to knock the Republican leader out of office. Sean Johnson has the details. And around the Apostle Islands on Lake Superior, boaters will soon be able to get real-time safety data from solar-powered buoys. Stay with us.
Community support makes these 10 minutes of Wisconsin news possible. Your gift now at wpr.org/givewitoday makes the news you can use on Wisconsin Today available to you and everyone else. Thank you.
A Dane County judge is weighing arguments in a lawsuit that seeks to restore labor rights for many of Wisconsin's government workers. Labor leaders argue the law known as Act 10 is discriminatory because it stripped collective bargaining from most public sector employees while allowing some police and fire unions to keep those rights. During a hearing yesterday, Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost said the state needs to prove it has rational basis for treating some employees differently.
The issue that seems to be in front of me is not at all whether the legislature can issue laws to help control budgets. Of course they can. It seems to be the decision to say there's a category of people that are so important that we're taking them out of that policy purpose.
Wisconsin's Republican-controlled legislature is asking Frost to dismiss the case. Over the last decade, the courts have upheld numerous challenges to Act 10, but unions filed this new lawsuit after Wisconsin's Supreme Court flipped to a liberal majority. Conservative critics of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss say they've submitted more than 9,000 signatures in an effort to force a recall election of the powerful Republican. As Sean Johnson reports, it is their second attempt this year.
The last recall attempt against Voss fell short after the Wisconsin Elections Commission found organizers had failed to gather enough signatures. Speaking to reporters outside the Elections Commission offices Tuesday afternoon, former State Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman said the latest effort would succeed.
When the sufficient number of signatures is validated out of this batch, Robin is going to lose the recall race. I know that. He knows that. Everybody knows that.
If all 9,000 signatures are valid, it would be more than enough to force a recall election. But organizers said they gathered the signatures from Voss's old assembly district, not his new one, which could potentially sink the effort. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin has had at least 8 confirmed tornadoes in the past week. That includes 3 in Rock and Jefferson counties on Sunday evening. The National Weather Service says there's been around 20 confirmed tornadoes across the state so far this year. Meteorologists say June is the peak tornado season. Andrew Beckett is a spokesperson for Wisconsin Emergency Management. He says people should keep an eye on the weather forecast and make sure they can get warnings and alerts.
Having that information is really critical to ensuring that you have an expectation of what the day is going to offer and what you might need to do in order to act quickly to stay safe.
Wisconsin averages 23 tornadoes per year. The Center for Disaster Philanthropy said there were just over 700 confirmed tornadoes across the nation so far this year, according to the latest data. A handful of solar-powered buoys will soon be installed around the Apostle Islands on Lake Superior. As Danielle Kading reports, they'll provide real-time data on wave and water conditions to better improve safety for kayakers and boaters.
Researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Madison are partnering with the Friends of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore and National Park Service to launch the buoys. They were first installed in 2021 in response to boating accidents within the area, but a lack of financing discontinued their use last year. Jeff Renicki is executive director of the Friends Group. He says they've committed to funding the university's work for the next 2 years.
We will never take the danger out of Lake Superior, but we just want to make sure that boaters have the right information right when they need it for where they're going.
Once installed, they will measure the height and direction of waves and also how far apart they occur. Reneke says they hope to launch the buoys at the end of this month or early June. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, it's spring, almost summer in Wisconsin, and you may have seen more baby animals out and about with their families, but some babies lose their parents. Coming up in today's episode of Wisconsin Life, we'll hear how a group of humans are fostering these young animals in their homes. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about volunteers who care for wildlife.
Spring is peak season for baby animals in Wisconsin. It's also the busiest time of year for wildlife rehabbers, as they're flooded with calls about wounded or orphaned critters. As WPR's Sarah Lear tells us, one group of humans in south central Wisconsin is bringing wildlife into their homes to care for those animals until they can fend for themselves.
At 4 weeks old, this litter of raccoons is just starting to open their squinty eyes. They were born blind, but are now beginning to respond to sights and sound. Jenny Esser fills a bottle with raccoon formula and runs it under hot water.
I'm just letting it warm up. So that'll just take a few minutes.
The fuzzy animals make chittering sounds as Esser feeds them one by one. The Cross Plains resident volunteers as a wildlife foster with Wisconsin Wild Care. Esther's been caring for the raccoons in a small cage in her laundry room.
I know you're hungry, sweetheart. I know. Okay. All right.
The raccoon's mother fled earlier this spring after a tree trimmer accidentally disturbed her nest. Three babies survived, but one had to be euthanized.
One had been nicked with a chainsaw, and his injuries were just too severe to overcome.
Last year, Wisconsin Wild Care rescued more than 1,000 small mammals in southern Wisconsin, including rabbits, opossums, squirrels, and, yes, raccoons. Some rehabbers in Wisconsin work at centralized facilities, like those run by humane societies. But Wild Care's approach is a little bit different. The nonprofit relies on a network of about 80 fosters who care for injured or abandoned animals in their homes. Wild Care co-director Diane Goldensoff says the home-based model provides the group with extra space and flexibility so it can care for more animals. And she says it allows for a personal touch.
A single caregiver is positive in the sense that we put an eye on those animals every time we feed them. And so as an individual, I can tell what the status is of the infants I'm raising.
Wild Care leaders, like its president Tom Manley, teach the fosters to keep the wild animals away from pets and to only handle them while wearing gloves.
One of the biggest differences between a domestic and a wild animal is that you do have to back off and allow them to become wild.
Before completing training and undergoing a home inspection, prospective fosters go to an orientation. There, they gauge which animals the best fit. As a squirrel guy himself, Manley admits to having a bias.
We also have a possum director and a rabbit director, and each of us stand up and give a little spiel beforehand, and it creates a little bit of an argument almost as to who's going to be most influential in getting these potential new fosters to care for their animal.
Back in her Cross Plains home, Esser says she's always felt a connection to raccoons. In all, she's fostered about 25 of them. Esser keeps notes about each raccoon's weight, bowel movements, and middle-of-the-night feedings. She marks each animal's ear with nail polish and tells them apart using different colors.
So this is the only little girl. She's pink. I call her Queenie. She's Queen Bee of her brothers.
By midsummer, Esser will move the animals to a large pre-release cage that she built in her backyard. It has ropes and a kiddie pool to keep the raccoons occupied. Esser loops a chain over the cage's door.
We have to have extra locks, and some of our other rehabbers have said the same thing. We call them Houdini. They figure out how to get out.
In the fall, Esser plans to set the animals free into the woods near her house.
I will not lie to you and say I haven't cried. Because you're going, you know, please go out and don't let anything happen to you.
By then, Esser hopes all her midnight bottle feedings will have paid off. She wants the raccoons to be fat enough to survive winter on their own.
WPR's Sarah Lear brought us that story on Wisconsin Wildcare. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
What a fantastic story. I think I'll just stick with my one dog for now, though. He has trouble sharing the yard with the squirrels and the rabbits as it is. That'll do it for this Wisconsin Today Morning News show on this Wednesday. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Make sure to hit subscribe, and if you feel like it, tell a friend or leave us a review. You can email us at newscasts@wpr.org or just leave it on your favorite podcast platform. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.